Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Brother Ron, that's about page 7 or so in your Bible, okay? You'll find it there, I promise you. Yes, sir. All right, Genesis chapter 1. And tonight, I want you to leave your Bible open. We're going to be using it, especially here at the beginning, quite a bit. We're going to skip around a little bit in Genesis chapters 1 and 3 here, so just stay with me. You're going to think, he's nuts. Let me restate that. You already know that. I'll prove it, all right? But let's jump in on this thing. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Notice those two words, God saw. Look down at verse number 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Notice that those two words, God saw. Look at verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Notice that statement, God saw. Look at verse number 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now, skip down to verse number 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And verse 25. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Now, keep your Bible open, turn back to that first part of that chapter. Few other things I want you to notice about this chapter. I want you to notice that God's creation started with his word. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, verse number 3. Verse number 5, it says, and God called, which means he spoke, the light day and the darkness night. Verse 6, and God said. Verse number 8, and God called. Verse 9, God said. Verse 10, God called. Verse 11, God said. And we could go through verse 14 and all the way through where the Bible talks about that God spoke everything into creation. The only thing that God did not speak into creation was man. But God breathed into man the breath of life. In other words, he spoke, or he gave life-giving breath to man through his mouth into the nostrils of man. Now, listen to me very carefully. Even man was found to be good. Look at verse 31 of chapter 1 again. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Man was created the sixth day. So even God said, I've looked at it, and as I see it, everything is good. Even man was good. Man began to walk and talk with God, and God gave him the running of the earth, gave him the oversight of the earth, the naming of the plants and the animals. He gave him the freedom to do that, to make sure everything was running and in good order, and to learn from God what he did not know so that man could prolong and do it the way God wanted it done. You see, God later even made woman, and all was even perfect as long as man saw life from God's eyes. You see, we said wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view, from God's perspective, through his eyes. And I want you to notice, as long as man did what God said and was in its original state, even God said it was good. Enter the devil. I'm going to show you something in Scripture that might shock you. He begins to try to get man to disobey God. Tries to separate man from God. How long does it take? Nobody knows. Did it take days? Did it take weeks? Did it take months? Did it take years? The Scripture does not say, therefore, it's not important. It really isn't. Well, I wonder. Okay, you wonder. So does everybody else. Who cares? Find out when you get to heaven. Amen? You can go ask Adam, and you can ask him that question. I'm just going to slap him. It won't be sinful then, because I won't do it with malice, but I'm going to smack him one. Now, it really doesn't matter, but I want you to look at Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to see something. Now, everybody remember, what is the definition of wisdom? It's the ability to what? See life from God's eyes. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 5. This is the devil talking to Eve and Adam. For God doth know in that the day ye eat thereof, then your, what's the next word? Eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Watch this. And when the woman, what's the next word? Saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes. Watch this. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Wow. Did you see what happened? For the first time in all of eternity, man begins to look at life through his own eyes, not God's. I want you to notice that tree was one to be desired to make one wise. But wise in whose eyes? In man's eyes. You see, the word wisdom literally has to do with your vision, your point of view. The word wisdom, we often say, means looking at life from God's point of view. And the rub comes when we start looking at man's point of view, not God's. Do you realize without sin, there was no man's point of view? That's why the devil said you can be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You won't need Jehovah. You could be just like God. You would be wise just like God. That's a powerful statement. Now, wait a minute. They wanted to be more like God. They wanted to have the wisdom that God had. But they weren't listening to how God said get it. They were listening to Satan. Now, man often finds himself having to decide if he is God and look at life from his own eyes, or if he'll yield to God and try to see life as God sees it. You see, man has caused this battle between the two natures. That battle between the two natures is this. Will I look at life through these eyes, or will I look at life through these eyes? That is the question. Real Bible wisdom, real godly wisdom, comes by looking at life through God's eyes, not through your eyes. We could say it this way. There is a boxing match continually going in your life. It's as I see it versus as God sees it. As I see it or as God sees it. Now, real wisdom gives you a view that is much different than what we see. Let me say it this way. For all these weeks, it must be many months now, we've been teaching on the topic of wisdom. And I've made this statement: when you look at life through God's eyes, life, and especially the Christian life, are not as difficult. Remember, God saw everything that it was very good. Wow. He made it very good. And from His perspective, everything was good. Now watch this. We complicate life. We complicate the Christian life. And if you'll get this, I can teach you something that will revolutionize your life. This is how we get non-denominational style churches. This is how we get that casualness. Well, let's dress down to go to church. And we can be more like everybody else so that we're not so intimidating to everyone. Gag. That's as man sees it, not as God sees it. Everybody doing okay? This is why we bring worldly music into churches. Oh, we've got to attract a new generation with our praise and worship services. Let's bring in the rock music and we'll put God's name in every once in a while and call it Christian rock and roll. Now, folks, I'm really not being foolish when I say this. That's like saying you have a black white man or a white black man. You can't have both. It's one or the other. Christian and rock music don't go together. Look up where the term rock music comes from, and it's a filthy, vile street term for immorality. There's nothing Christian about it. Oh, we're going to have Christian adultery. You say, that's ridiculous. I can't believe you'd say that. Christian rock music, what's the difference? We're going to have Christian thievery. You say, those two words don't go together. Neither does Christian and rock and roll. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, hang in there. This is where you get your high-techy, let's impress the high-tech no people, and let's bring in the Silicon Valley people, and let's bring them in. This is why we have churches in every denomination going that direction. Because that is church from man's point of view, not church from God's point of view. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is why they don't go soul winning. Oh, we don't need to go soul winning. I don't have the gift of soul winning. Folks, you show me one place in that Bible where it says soul winning is a gift. I can show you hundreds of places where God commanded you to do it. It's not a gift, it's a command. It was a commission. He commissioned every Christian to go do it. It was a command. It wasn't a gift of the Spirit. Everybody doing okay? Well, I don't have that spiritual temperament. Gag. It's Christian psychology, and we'll get to that in a little while. That's like Christian adultery. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want you to notice something. Genesis chapter 3. One more verse here, and then we're going to launch into the teaching tonight. This is all introduction. Wait till the preaching comes, amen? Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the, what's the next word? Presence. The sight of God. The eyes of God. Amongst the trees of the garden. You see, man had to hide from God's eyes because he was looking at life through his own eyes now. He knew he had sinned, and he was willing to look through his eyes and unwilling to look through God's eyes. Now, I want you to notice something, though. God did not destroy man and start over. Everybody listen to this statement. Just because man sinned, did God have a right to destroy man and start over? Yes, he did. But did he? No, he did not. He said, okay, you messed up. But I will make a way because I love you and everything was good and everything can be good again if you'll just obey me. I'll stick by you whether you stick by me or not. By the way, parents, stick by your kids when they do right and stick by your kids when they don't do right. Doesn't mean you approve of what they do that's wrong, but they need to know you love them in spite of their wrong. Doesn't mean that you lift them up in their wrong, but it does mean you love them through the wrong, and it doesn't matter even if they mess their life up. Keep on loving them. Stay with them. See, it became man's job to submit to God's eyes. It was not any longer going to be natural. Now, tonight, next week, I'm going to take the Christian life, break it down into 15, 16 different little compartments and show you the Christian life from God's eyes, not man's eyes. And I want you to listen to me. I call this the Christian life from God's view. The Christian life from God's view. Now, if you'll listen to me, this will help you. Now, let's take something very simple. That book right there. The Word of God. Point number one. The King James Bible is the final authority. I'm in friendly territory there. Amen? Can I hear somebody say amen? Are you awake? Oh me. All right, here we go. Man wants his own Bible so he can understand it from man's point of view. Oh, we've got to come out with a new version. It's easier to understand. Anybody heard that one before? Did you ever notice they're the ones that call us weak? But they got to have a Bible that's easier to understand? Well, all those these and thous. Okay, thee means you. Thou means you. That was real hard, wasn't it? Can you understand that? I guess it's not so hard to understand. The problem is they don't look at it from God's point of view. They want to look at it through their point of view. God spoke the world into being. It was his word that made creation. Now watch this. It was not man's word that created. It was God's word that created. God wrote it to us, and we're not to interpret it our way. We're to accept it as God gave it. Yes, see, the problem we have in America today is you have administrations in our government that want to make law, not judge the law. They don't want to uphold the law that's there. The president has no power to make law. Every law he has made has been in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. He is the officer of the law and is supposed to uphold the law. He is supposed to apply the law. He's to make sure that the law is followed. Everybody understand that? The police officer cannot pull you over and say, well, I know that speed limit says 70, but because today we're having a blue light special, it's only 50 miles an hour, so you're going to get 25 mile an hour over ticket. That's exactly what our chief administrators and our chief justices on the Supreme Court are doing. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. Now hang in there. I'm about to make a statement that's going to rattle somebody's cage, and I hope it does. New versions are man saying his words and his views of God are more important than the ones God gave us. Every new Bible out there is man saying, I don't need what God said. This is my view of what God says. Mr. Schofield's notes are not Bible, just so you know. That's why Mr. Schofield's interpretation of the Bible is wrong. That's why Mr. Schofield in his Bible uses the revised version to explain things, and he's wrong. I could take you to place after place after place after place in a Schofield Bible and show you where it says, omit this word, omit these verses. What right does Mr. Schofield have to omit anything? They're not Schofield's words, they're God's words. Man teaching the Bible as though God, as though man wrote it, is biblical humanism. I have no right to say, well, Moses was writing here in the book of Genesis, and Moses means right here. It wasn't Moses' words. These are God's words. Well, Paul was saying in the book of Romans, Paul didn't say it, God said it. Everybody understand that? See, that's man trying to teach the Bible through man's vision. We are to teach the Bible from God's vision, not man's vision. And I must hurry. Number two, prayer is for man to meet with God. Prayer is for man to meet with God. Man views it as a way to get what he wants, not as a way to spend time with God. Man views prayer as a way to rub the genie or rub the bottle and get the genie to pop out to give him his wishes. Prayer was intended to be for man to ask God how to help things on earth run more smoothly. That was the original intent for prayer. God, how did you make all that work? Prayer is a way that man spends time with his God. Let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent with God? How much time have you talked to God? Prayer, oh boy, listen to this one. The charismatics are going to hate me for this one. Prayer is not a proof of spirituality. It's a proof that you've spent time with God. It's not a means to show off how spiritual one is. The Pharisees, oh, don't I fast so many days, and I walk around in my phylacteries of prayer. The monks who walk around the monasteries going, you know, and pray all day long. And they think they're holy, 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 holy. Well, they got holes in their head big enough to drive a truck for sure. Just because you go around oohing and aahing and saying your rosaries and saying all your other things and Hail Marian and hailing cabs and hailing whatever, it does not mean that you are spiritual. It's not a way for you to show off. Oh, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and look what God's going to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, you've got to have so many answers to prayer or you're not even saved anymore. Show me in the Bible where that's true. Prayer is a way for man to talk to his God, to get closer to his God. It's not something you're supposed to lift up and say, oh, look at me. God hears my prayers. All three of my kids, no matter what condition they've been in, Daddy heard them. Not all of them did I answer their request because it wasn't good for them. Everybody catch that? I better move on. Point number three. I've got to get through eight of these tonight, so hang in there, folks. Number next, the church is a hospital for man, not a museum. Man sees church as headquarters to direct all spirituality, not a place to help man get closer to God. Folks, thank God I'm not the Pope. I'm not El Papa. I ain't wearing no dress. You're sure not putting a $500,000 grapefruit on my head. Now, wait a minute. This is not the headquarters of all spirituality. Did you know you can read your Bible outside of church? Did you know you can pray outside of church? Did you know people can get saved outside of church? Guess this isn't the headquarters for it, is it? This is the place you come because you're a sinner. It is a called out assembly. And God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, I go fishing on Sundays. My boat can be my church. Well, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But he didn't call it his house either. God may be there if they're saved people. Yes, he will. But it is not a place called church because they're not a called out assembly. They're assembling, but they weren't called out. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang in there. Man views church as a social club for man to have all of his friends and entertain one another. Man views church as a way to feel better about his sin and not face God for it. That's why you got things like the outhouse, living room. That's why you got the non-denominationalism. That's why you have the sensationalism of the prosperity gospel. The, who's the cow dude? Joe Holstein. I got to remember him like a cow, amen? Folks, that's garbage. That's man's interpretation of church, just so you know. That's not God's interpretation of church. You see, man views church as a way to feel better about his sin, not face God for it. By God, it's called a called out assembly of local believers to grow personally closer to God, organize to evangelize, and learn the Bible. That's God's definition, just so you know. By the way, it's not a place to entertain and appease man. It's a hospital to fix people. Do you know that church is not an entertainment center? And we're just going to throw it out there real clear and plain. Church is not supposed to meet all your social needs. Church wasn't called to have hot dogs and snow cones and Starbucks coffee. It was called to meet the needs of the people. Now, if church has a picnic, great. I'm for it. Going to eat. Amen. Going to have a men's pig out. I'm going to be there and first in line. Amen. Say why? Because I'm the bigger pig. There's nothing wrong with having those things, but guess what? You can have church without those things. Those things don't make a church. Those are things that we use to draw people close enough and strong enough to go out and reach more people. Boy, that's a good statement. That's why church is a hospital to fix us for sin. Did you ever notice how weak the sermons of the charismatics are? Did you ever hear... What's the Holstein? Did you ever hear how weak his sermons are? I can listen to about 30 seconds to that guy before I got to run to the bathroom and throw up. He's got a rope for a backbone. He's not going to get up and preach on hell. He's not going to get up and preach on sin. Oh, he'll say sin, but he's going to name it. There was a day in America where preachers weren't afraid to get up and preach on sin specifically. And not just saying, well, you ought to stop your sin. You lily-livered little wimp. Name it. You know, back in the old days, the preachers got personal. You know, Brother Jones, you quit your smoking. Sister Smith, you quit your drinking. Sorry. That green stuff, amen? Now, wait a minute. Those are the days where preachers preached straight at you. You think I'm rough? Man, they called me a sissy britches. America couldn't handle a J. Frank Norris again. Promise you. Boy, that's getting quiet there. All right, next. I got to hurry up. Next, man's music is for praise and worship of God, not for self-exaltation. Music is for praise and worship to God, not for self-exaltation. Man's music appeals to the flesh and looks, and that is looking at music through man's eyes, not God's eyes. Man's music talks about justifying the sin of man. Okay, here we go. Did you ever know country western music to ever have a good theme? Drinking, smoking, carousing, adultery, fornication. All those things. They talk about their sin in such a way to make you feel better about it. Right. Rebellion. Well, I like the style. Of course you do, because you're looking at it through your eyes. Let me ask you a question. If God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit sat right there, do you think they're going to sing "Take This Job and Shove It"? I'm just being real plain. Now, wait a minute. We giggle. Does your music praise you or God? Rock music. I don't even have to go any farther. Just say it. Rap music. Filthiest thing this side of hell. Mamas and daddies, if your children are even near that stuff, hold your fingers over their ears and get them away. And if you've got it in your house, get it out now. Now, wait a minute. Man's music is to show off man, not praise God. Look at the average singer of the average version of the Star Spangled Banner before a sporting event. God have mercy. There's not a man in this room, and probably not a man in the world, that has put their life on the line in foreign soil or even on our soil in the United States military that they hear some, better be careful here, some whore dressed like ungodly as that she can be getting up there, that says, boy, that moves my heart. Boy, that makes me want to go serve. Not a one of them. They're disgusted at it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Satan was heaven's music leader. And he himself has been trying to teach man how to use music for himself and take the praise and the worship away from God with our music. God wants your music to focus on him and not you. Well, I'm afraid to do specials at church. I might make a mistake. No. If you've never been involved in music, you've never made a mistake. If you've ever been involved in music, you're going to make a mistake. Donnie, your mistake would be getting involved in music. Now, folks, can I tell you something? I don't care about your mistakes. Now, I want you to practice. I want it to sound as good as you can. I want it to be well prepared. But guess what? If you get up and make a mistake, I'm not going to say, stop, do that all over again. We're not here to have a concert. We're here to praise God. Your music is not to draw attention to you as you're right here. It's to get the people focused on God and the preaching of the Word of God. Everybody doing all right? It ought to have a message, and it ought to have a messenger. Boy, that's a good statement. Next, number five. Now, some of you tolerated. Now I'm going to get specific. Preaching, not psychology, is God's way. Preaching, not psychology, is God's way. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this way. If you get mad at me, you can get mad at God and not just me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Ooh, notice a different perspective. You know, the lost world thinks preaching stupid. God told us they would. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The world looks at church and the world looks at preaching and says, ha, that's stupid. God said, it's the power of God. They say it's stupid because they are looking at it through man's eyes, not God's eyes. Now listen to this. Psychology is man's study of man's mind and his view of life, not God's. Look up the definition of psychology. It is the study of man's mind and feelings. I didn't say that. The dictionary did. How can a man get up, study your mind, and say, I'm giving you the word of God? Mr. Dobson? Mr. Hocus Pocus on the family? I'm sorry, Focus on the Family? Whose $18 million complex, I'm sorry, $48 million complex in Colorado Springs, Colorado, $40 million was provided by the Catholic Church. I've driven by the complex. I have seen it. He was educated where the same secular psychologists that you would not go to were trained. He's just found cute ways in perversions of the Bible to put verses to it to make you think he's something. Preachers are turning to psychology instead of preaching. They're using man's view, not God's view. By the way, these are the yardbirds that go out and says, well, David said here and Paul says here, and we've got to look at the Bible as a drama. We've got to look at this as a play gag. That's called psychology. So you say it a little too plain, Brother Bush, by the foolishness of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. Preaching is to show man his need of God and not rely on himself. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You don't need a psychologist. You need to get to the man of God and let him help you with the word of God. And I'm not mad at anybody. I don't know anybody that has. But I'm here to shout, I know more about life than any psychologist does. Say, you lifting yourself up? I'm lifting up my office. That's what the man of God is. That's what preaching is for. Number next. Salvation is by God's grace. Do you know that to the world, man wants to work his own way to heaven? Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. Man has devised his own works for heaven. Baptism, confessionals, last rites, sacraments, rituals, popes, tongues, helping those in need, repetitive prayers, etc., 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 etc. Do you know that not one of those is found as a way to heaven in that book? Right. Not one. That's man's view, not God's. Those of you that are soul winners, listen to about the next 60 seconds. Revolutionize your soul winning. Man's sinful nature would never allow him to let his only child pay for the wrong and sin of others. So why would God do it? That's why man tries to work his way to heaven. That's why salvation by grace is hard for man, because they're looking at it through man's eyes, not God's eyes. Salvation only makes sense when you see it God's way. Now listen to this. Man cannot be wise until he gets saved. And to be saved, you have to see it as God sees it, not as you see it. That means the first thing you have to realize is you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you're a bad enough sinner to deserve hell. Ooh, That goes against what man believes. Yeah, but once you see that, and that Jesus paid your price, God loves you through the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. All you do is trust Him as your Savior. Bang! You're saved. All of a sudden, you have wisdom available to you. The first act of wisdom anybody can have is salvation. And to do it, you've got to see it God's way, not your way. That is the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is man doing it and man's point of view. Christianity is God's point of view looking down at man. Boy, that's good. Number 7. I'm going to hit this running because I hit it several months ago, but there's some things that go with this. God's dress code does not make sense to man. Why can't I wear what I want? Did you hear the key word there? I don't see what's wrong with it. Didn't ask what you see. I can tell you what God sees. You don't have to agree with me. You say, why? Because it's not me. It's God. God clothed the animals differently from one another so that they were obvious what gender they were. Did you know you can look at two sparrows and tell which one's a man and which one's, well, which one's male and which one's female? Did you know that you could look at most animals and tell one from another pretty quickly? Can I tell you why? Because God wanted them different. Did you know that when somebody looks at you, they're supposed to be able to very quickly see if you're a man or if you're a woman? It's real simple. Everybody used to laugh. Well, can't tell what that one is till they go into the right bathroom. Anymore, you can't even tell by that. Because you got the sodomites out there. Man says, tempt me and show me all you can. God wants the thighs covered, and by the way, of men and women, not just women. And He wants men not to wear women's clothes and women not to wear men's clothes so that it's very obvious to all who see. My wife and daughter and I were somewhere the other night. We were walking by and my wife says, huh. I said, what? She said, I think that's the first time that kid's ever seen a woman in a dress. I didn't catch the look on his face. She did. It does happen a lot, but, you know, we don't pay attention to it much, but just happened to catch that one, amen? Wait a minute. I look back and the kid's going. I wanted to say something, but his mama was too big. Wait a minute. Man has accepted sodomy because what's the difference? I'm just going to say it. America is accepting sodomy because what's the difference? Number 8, and I'll finish. Am I okay up here tonight? Is everybody mad at me or what? You just must be really tired. Number 8. Christian fun and entertainment should not be from our view, but from God's. Let me say that again. Christian fun and entertainment should be not from our view, but from God's. Do you know that getting drunk, getting high, being immoral may please your flesh, but God says it's foolish? And by the way, have you ever seen anybody that is a drunkard or a meth head or a crack addict or addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol that truly was happy? They think they're happy, but they're not. Watch this. Movie houses, water parks, and the like make sense to man, but it doesn't make sense to God. Now, those of you, listen to me very carefully. Those you mamas that let your kids go to these water parks and strip half naked and run around in their bathing suits. You wouldn't let your daughter go to school in nothing but her underwear. You say, that's disgusting, Brother Bush. What's the difference? You tell me. Most of you wouldn't send your sons to a school where the girls walked around in nothing but their underwear, but you let them go to the water park and everything's okay. So you're getting pretty bold. Well, in our society, it deems that I must say it pretty rough. Sorry. I'm just going to make everybody mad. City leagues where lost people teach, train, and become close friends with your children make sense to man, but it does not make sense to God. Be careful sending your children to city places to be trained by the world. I'm not afraid to say it. I grew up playing baseball. I've grown up in some city leagues. By the way, that was back in the 1970s, and it was bad enough then. Whatever happened to mom and dad playing with their kids? Going on walks and hikes, bike rides, cooking, hunting, camping, fishing, bowling, putt-putt. Now that makes sense to God. You went and played putt-putt? Yeah, my wife and daughter and I went. Was it this week we went and played putt-putt? I've been bowling in the last few weeks. A couple times. Oh, that was boring. Man, we had the time of our life. I love watching my daughter get beat. Especially when I'm the one beating her. Now, wait a minute. We have a lot of fun. Whatever happened to that? Who said you had to go to a... And by the way, I'm not preaching against an amusement park, though I could. Most of the people that you'll be around and the music that you'll be around, if you're susceptible to it, stay away from it. I've been in enough of those, I get a headache just walking through the parking lot. I don't really like being around that clientele, so I don't. I've found bowling alleys off times and go when we're about the only ones there. Say why? So you don't hear me cuss when I get a gutter ball. No. now, wait a minute. Actually, so you don't see my wife smoking her cigar. Now, letting your children unrestricted on the internet and social media is not wisdom. Folks, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'll finish it up next week. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking at life through your eyes or God's? Some of you want to judge the church by what you know instead of what God says. Well, it's just not meeting all of my social needs. Show me one time in Scripture where it says that. Maybe if you spent time with Him. Maybe if you went out and go soul winning. Maybe if you started bringing converts to church and started investing in their lives, your social needs would change. See, your trouble is you got a welfare mentality of Christianity. You want everybody to feed you. You don't want to do nothing. I love you. Huh. Why don't we start looking at the Christian life through God's eyes? Not our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, I don't want to hurt you. I want you to see the truth. Preaching, not psychology. God's standards, not yours. Salvation, God's way, not your way. Prayer, the Bible. All these different aspects of the Christian life. The church, music, all of it. God's way, not man's way.